بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها، فإذا رأى شيئا يكرهه عرفناه في وجهه. متفق عليه. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, with regards to the extent of the haya and shame and modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned previously and we've seen in the previous riwayat, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equated haya and shame and iman with haya and shame and modesty with iman. So obviously the person with the highest level of iman was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inni akhshakum lillah wa atqakum lahu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no one that has more khashiyat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and more taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than myself, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So if haya is part of iman, the higher the level of iman, the greater the level of haya and shame and modesty. So this would be found to kamal and perfection in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It stands to reason. So Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala gives a beautiful analogy to describe the haya and shame of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more modest, more shy, had greater level of haya than a virgin woman, a virgin young girl in her private room. Obviously, we can understand this type of analogy. An untouched, chaste young girl who is obviously not married, she's a virgin, her level of shame and modesty naturally would be very, very high. And we find that in the narration it comes, fi khidriha. In other words, in her private room, refers to the way she will behave, how shy and modest she will be when she will be meeting her husband for the first time in solitude. That young girl meeting her husband for the first time in solitude, her shame, her modesty, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even more modest than that, had an even higher level of shame and haya than that. And he goes on to describe the haya and shame of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَإِذَا رَأَى شَيْئًا يَكْرَهُهُ عَرَفْنَاهُ فِي وَجِهِ. That if there was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked, some demeanor, some manner, some practice of some of the Sahaba, which went against Shariat, which was something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked, the Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala says, we could immediately discern and recognize this on the expression of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his face. In other words, his haya, his shame, his modesty was such that if there was something that was upsetting him, something that he disliked that was going on in front of him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not blurt out. He would not attack that individual. He was upset, it was irritating him. But his haya and shame would stop him from hitting out directly at that individual. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala says, we could see the change or the effect on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mentioned this many times previously, that we today, we are very crafty and conniving, many of us, in our dealing with others. Sometimes you got something against the person, you are upset about something, but you are smiling at that person. Why? Because you've got some hidden agenda or hidden objective. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of his akhlaq and his character was that he was an open book. There was nothing hidden, there was nothing nefarious. There was no conniving and cunning in the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something upset him, made him angry, made him upset, disliked. He disliked it. Insani nature. He was irritated by something. Sahaba used to say when he became upset, his cheeks would become red. It would become recognizable on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some riwayat it comes, كَأَنَّمَا فُقِيَ فِي وَجِي حَبَّةُ الرُّمَانِ. It was as if pomegranate juice had been sprinkled on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regards to the description of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mentioned azajul hawajib sawabiq bainahuma qan yudirruhu al-ghadab, that the eyebrows of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were arced. This is a sign of beauty, where the eyebrows are arced. Sawabiq min ghairi qarn, they were rounded, they were full, but they would not meet in the center. In the center there was a gap for the eyebrows of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And bainahuma irqun yudirruhu al-ghadab, in this gap there was a vein which used to run, and this vein would protrude when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become upset. So in other words, as we mentioned, that his tabiat, his mizaj, his temperament was, he was an open book. So you could see, discern, there was nothing conniving or hidden or nefarious in the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So فَإِذَا رَأَى شَيْئًا يَكْرَهُهُ عَرَفْنَاهُ فِي وَجْهِهِ. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala says that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked anything, this could be easily discerned and seen on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, the displeasure could be seen, but he would not openly strike out. Ulama-i-kiram qualify this and they say that this does not refer to matters of religion of a level of halal and haram, since immediately cautioning those who acted contrary to divine commandments, this was part of the divine responsibility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody is doing something haram, impermissible, there Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak out, because part of the responsibility of the Nabi of Allah was to enforce and bring alive the Sharia. So there is no shyness or modesty or haya that becomes an obstacle in establishing haq and truth. There Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately would speak out and say that certain thing is wrong, or he would stop the sahabi from whatever wrong he was doing in order to enforce and bring alive the Shariat. We mentioned this previously. For a person to say now, haram is going on, you're keeping silent, you're doing nothing about it, and you say, Mujhe sharam aate hai, I'm being shy, I'm being modest. That is not shyness. That is in fact cowardice. Your haya and shame at that point, haya and shame for Allah should cause you to speak out. That Allah's command is being broken, how can I keep silent? There it is not an issue of shame and haya. And for Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Wallahu la yastahi min al haq. Wallahu la yastahi min al haq. Inna Allah la yastahi an yadriba mathalam ma ba'udatan fama fawqaha. It does not embarrass Allah Ta'ala to give you examples of His Qudrat and power with simple creation. Sometimes a mosquito, Allah will use that as an example. Sometimes a fly, something insignificant, Allah will use. It does not embarrass Allah to use this as a sign to show you His Qudrat and His power. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. Allah is not embarrassed or ashamed of the truth. In fact, with regards to the women of the Ansar, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha makes a beautiful observation with regards to them, where she says, it's mentioned in the riwayat, قَالَتْ عَيْشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا نِعْمَ النِّسَاءُ نِسَاءُ الْأَنْصَارِ لَمْ يَمْنَعْهُنَّ الْحَيَاءُ أَنْ يَتَفَقَّهْنَ فِي الدِّينِ. She says, how good are the women of the Ansar, or the wives of the Ansar of Medina. Ansar refers to the residents of Medina Munawwara. لَمْ يَمْنَعْهُنَّ الْحَيَاءُ. Their shame and their modesty did not become an obstacle to them getting the correct faqahat and understanding of deen. Example, Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in an open majlis she puts a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ غُسْلٍ إِذَا هِيَ إِحْتَمَلَتْ هل على المرأة من غسل إذا هي احتلمت؟ That ya Rasulullah, if a woman has, to translate it crudely, if a woman has to have a wet dream, does she have to make ghusl? Now, this is something that normally to ask such a question would embarrass one. But it's a question of Shariat and Deen. If these type of questions were not put to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would we learn what is the masla? What is the Shariat? What is the Deen? So Umm Salim radiallahu ta'ala comes and asks such a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would not say in such an instance that here she is being immodest. Modesty, humility, etc., that is there, that should not become an impediment to learning one's deen. That should not become an impediment to establishing the haq and the truth. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, referring to this type of question, she says, Ni'man nisa, nisa'ul ansar, that how good and how beneficial the women of the ansar were. They did not allow their shame and their modesty to become an obstacle. لَمْ يَمْنَعْهُنَّ الْحَيَاءَ أَنْ يَتَفَقَّهَنَّ فِي الدِّينِ. They did not allow their shame and their modesty to become an obstacle to get them getting the faqahat and the understanding of deen. We find that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, at the end of the chapter, he mentions one of the advices that were given by the ulama-i-kiram, particularly, obviously, of the Salaf-i-Saliheen, the pious predecessors of the past. In this instance, particularly, that personality, we all would have heard the name Tajul Arifin. He was given the title, the crown of those who were Arif Billah, those who recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great wali of Allah. Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, he mentions, he's saying, where he explains what is the meaning of haya and shame. Obviously, we run out of time. Inshallah, we'll continue.